I was ministering last Sunday. I was kind of getting going, and I never got into the message, so I'm hoping to push a little bit closer into that. I'm going to go over a few points that I brought up last Sunday, and then we're going to move into the rest of the message. When God brought the children of Israel into the promised land, he gave them a very clear directive. Whenever God brings us into the promises of him, which is actually a new covenant every day, he brings us into the promises of him, he's looking for the people willing to step into the promises. The thing with the Israelites is they had so much of Egypt left into them. They were so built into captivity in their understanding that they couldn't leave slavery alone. And they grumbled and complained. They actually false idols and different things in the desert. And because of what their heart attitudes, what it ended up doing was keeping that generation out of the promises. I don't want to be a part of a generation out of the promises of God. I don't want our grumbling attitude, our issues, our problems to ever keep us out of the promises of God in our life. Do you? So if we don't want that to keep out of the promises, because I actually want to build a foundation for our children yet to come. I want to build something that is strong on the Word of God, the truth, blowing with the Holy Spirit across it. I want to build something that is so strong and will not sway off the foundational Word of God. Because if we don't stand on that, then our children, what are they going to stand on? And so what I'm saying is the promises that God has given us in his word only comes to pass when we actually live in his word. We watch his ways. We do his things. We do what he has called us into. And so let's look at the promises, because in the Israelites, they were to displace the pagan people living in the promised territory. And so I look at that as today, anything that is that is pagan in our life, we need to displace it, or we can't live in the promises of God in us. You see, the promised land now is heaven at hand in us. Heaven, kingdom of God is in us. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. The promises of God, the more pagan rituals we have, which are sinful ways, the more of that we entertain or harbor, then the less we can live in his promises. And so I pray that we can actually raise up a culture that actually looks more to the promises than it does to the rituals. That we look more to his presence and his glory than we do to the issues and problems that are raging around us. Because in that desert season, in the wilderness, is actually where God was speaking so much to Moses to try to get his people into the promised land. God wanted them there. It was people's choice that held them out. And because of that, it held Moses out. I want to talk to you, though, today about Joshua. You've heard me talk about Joshua. I just love his life. I've been studying his life again. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, and we're going to read to verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. This is God's commission to Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, so Moses has just died. He was a servant of the Lord. It came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. That word assistant means to serve, to wait on, and to minister to. So here you have Joshua, here you have Moses. In today's terminology, you know, kind of in our culture, we would say, here you have a papa, a dad, and here you have a son. Spiritual dad, spiritual son, spiritual mentor, you know, spiritual server, however you want to look at that concept. And Joshua literally served Moses and ministered. He waited on him and he served Moses. Now, it's hard for us to grasp sometimes, because some of us have been beat up by men and women in high places or in governmental structures within the church. And so we don't want to trust like that anymore. But there's something that gets released when we don't do what fears us, but we do what God tells us. It's kind of like if you ever owned a bad vehicle one day, and it was bad because it had been used and abused improperly. You spent tons of money on it, and you said, I'm never going to buy a vehicle like that again. Well, that can be good, but the mark of the vehicle or make of the vehicle isn't what made it bad. It was the abuse the car had before you bought it. Now, I could say something about Dodges right now, but I'm not sure if I should. I want to keep peace and harmony. But anyways, the reality is because you had a bad experience, don't let that person's problems and issue take you out of a good experience of God now. Because if we grow up in fear, to fear people, to fear men, to fear church leadership, what we actually grow up in is anti-Christ structure. And God's not called us into that. God's called us to find a family, a tribe, a home, whatever you say, and then trust again. Because if we don't trust, then you expect someone to justify their trust to you. But that's not what God does for you. Jesus doesn't do it for you. God didn't say, you know what? I want the humans to justify their trust to me. Instead, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to say, you know what? I trust the humans, my created beings, are going to see what my son does for them, see how much I love them, because I actually trust them to do my way. But many times we don't even trust God. We're called to trust. When I married my wife 29 years ago, I chose to trust her. Oh, I could have thought, oh, well, you know, whoa, that guy looked at her wrong. You know, man, whoa, 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 what's going on there? Hey, you know, hey, dude, come on. It's my wife. Oh, sure, for the first few years, we're learning that trust, but you can never learn trust till you give trust. Because no one can justify their trust to you unless you can justify your trust to them. Oh, no, but we're a selfish generation. You're exactly right. We just want everything to come our way, and we just don't want to give much out.
Well, I go to McDonald's, and if they're like a little bit too late, I mean, do you have anybody remember years ago there was a time clock at McDonald's that if you were past that time clock, you got your meal for free? Oh, I'd wait for the biggest lineups. I'd just wait for the biggest lineups. I wanted that free Big Mac combo. We've become a society that is so politically incorrect. We call it political correctness. But actually, freedom of speech is a government thing of the government of Canada and the government of America. But freedom of speech is not the biblical government.
What do you mean by that? I can say whatever I want to say.
Oh, you can, but anything you say outside of God is not his will for you to say. Oh, no, I can just do whatever because I got grace. He's gave me grace, and I can just do whatever. And then I can just repent again. Matter of fact, I don't even need to repent because I'm a predestinist. I repented once, and I'm good for life. Yippee-yay. Waiting for the Friday and the Friday, Friday, Friday. You remember that song? Okay. I didn't sing it quite right, probably. Friday's all right with me, with me, with me. Don't you remember that? Friday. Oh, someone does. Kim can sing it better than I can. But the reality is that's not the grace that God gave us. The grace that God gave us is not to give us anything we want. The grace that God gave us is to give us everything he wants. Which becomes the desires of your heart when we're truly focused on him. Because his desire is not for us to live a sinful lifestyle or a sinful world in our life. His desire is to live his lifestyle. His son's lifestyle is the perfect testimony. Jesus Christ is the perfect testimony for an example for us to live. We don't have the freedom to just say everything we want. If you're angry and you start thinking of the alphabet letters, oh, good song. No. I love all-time rockin'. Isn't that that one? I don't even listen to this music anymore, but it's all still in my head from so many years ago. Woo, I'm ready to get my hair going. But I'd probably whiplash my neck. Then I'd be stiff neck. Wow, where are we going? Verse 2 of Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. If the Israelites knew that as soon as Moses died, Joshua was going to take him, they would have killed Moses. They would have killed him already, you know? But that would have obviously kept him out even longer. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Remember, this is an assistant of Moses, a server of a man who had a relationship, a heart attitude after God. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Why would God even say that? Because he knows that the promised land won't be everything you think it might be. The promises of God today aren't everything you think it might be. Oh, well, if I just fall into his glory, everything will be good. I don't have to do oil changes on my car. I don't have to go to work anymore. A matter of fact, God might tell me to quit work and just get more channels on my TV and just hang out. And then God will provide my rent and God will provide my lease and God will provide my insurance and God will provide everything. And God's going, fool, what have I taught that man? You see, we need to have an understanding that God is speaking today, but he speaks right here. And if it doesn't line up in here, he's not speaking to you. Amen. Did I just say that? If it doesn't line up in the Word of God, and he's speaking something that is in contradiction to the Word, then he's actually not the one speaking to you. It might sound like it, but that's because many people get so comfortable hearing their own voice or a voice of another over the voice of God. That's why he wrote the book. So we don't have to hear our own voice. We hear his voice right here, and then he gives revelation on the word, but it will always follow the foundation of the Word of God. Be strong and of good courage, verse 6. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you to do. Verse 7 again. Only be strong and very courageous. What do you have to be strong and courageous for? The giants that are in the land? No. The giants don't matter in the eyes of God in his will. What matters is that you're strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. It's not the giants that's the scary thing. The scary thing in the kingdom of God is when people don't adhere to the word and they turn left and they turn right, and then you no longer have the privilege of stepping into the promises of God in your life. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. I like it, in it. Meditate in it. Psalms 1 talks the same perspective. Meditate in it, meditate on it, meditate through it. Everything in life, meditate in the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. You want to prosper? You want to get more financially set? You want to know the answers? But Brad, you need to tell me what to do. I'm having a hard enough time telling me what to do. How am I supposed to tell you all what to do? The only thing I need to tell you is meditate in his word. Meditate in his word. And have wise counsel. Because you can meditate in the word of God. Come to your own theological understanding without understanding the balance of the scripture. And you can camp out on one point and miss the other point that makes this point valuable. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Oh, let's read verse 8 again. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Okay, so the law of the word of God will not depart from my mouth. The new covenant will not depart from my mouth. The commands of Jesus Christ will not depart from my mouth. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons will not come out of my mouth. And for the Spanish translator right now, trying to translate into Spanish is very difficult because I'm speaking too fast. We actually have Spanish translation going on. So if you know any Hispanic people, bring them on in. We have more headsets. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You see, what's being spoken was what God spoke well in advance of the Israelites spending 40 years in the desert. They just missed the key part. Meditate on him day and night. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, because if you meditate in his word, if you have the word just literally permeating through you, you're going to have good courage. You're not going to be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's what God told Joshua. Meditate in the book of the law. Meditate in my word. Meditate in my word, because in my word are the answers for today. Joshua didn't have the new covenant. He only had the old covenant. He only had the old structure, the old law. But Jesus Christ came and made a new covenant to overcome the old covenant. The new covenant abolished the need of the old covenant. It didn't abolish the ways of God's kingdom. Thou shalt not steal. The Ten Commandments are as relevant today as they were before the Ten Commandments were ever written. There's some teachings out there that say new covenant, well, Ten Commandments were old covenant, so we don't have to abide by them. Well, no, the only reason the Ten Commandments were written was because the Israelites weren't abiding by the law. They already knew, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not. They already knew that. They knew that already. They just were ignoring it. And so God had to make a point, and he wrote it on stone. You know how long it should have taken Moses to chip out that stone on the mountain? Well, it didn't take very long. Done. All he did was he brought his truth back through Moses to the Israelites. So new covenant, it's still the kingdom principles. But the blessing and advantage is we no longer have sacrifice. We no longer have separation between God and man. We no longer have to have a veil between us. That veil was torn. It was torn when Christ hung on that cross. You don't have to be a holier priest than everybody else to go into that presence and know whether or not you're going to live or die. All you have to be now is a priest willing to die. But back then it was physical. Now it's spiritual. You die to self. You die to self. You want more of his presence? Die to self. Die to the sinful nature. Die to the carnal nature. And go after God in such a way that his presence will invade you every day. God appoints Joshua right now with the same promises he gave to Moses. When Moses asked in Exodus chapter 3, I'm not going to read it, I'm not going to turn there. Exodus 3 verses 11 to 12. Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Moses didn't even understand. Moses is like, who am I to do what you're asking me to do? But that's just so God. That's a true humility. It can border on insecurity. But Moses didn't let the insecurity of his own identity stop him from hearing the voice of God and doing it. Moses says again, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? God simply answered in verse 12, I will certainly be with you. It's interesting because similarly in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, the last words of Christ on this earth, Jesus' final words in his great commission to us were, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who am I to go do this? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You're calling me to go do this, God. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I remember when Sharon and I were first called into missions full time. Actually, I was called as a child. I just didn't listen to it for an awful lot of years. But I remember clearly in 1989 when I got that call. It took us 7 years. I was ready to go now. I was ready to jump in our boat, sail out of Mission, Vancouver, down into Mexico, not even knowing what we're going to do. I'm ready to go now. But instead, I had a 20-year mortgage on that boat, so I paid it off in 4.5 years. My wife and I worked hard. My pastor at the time, my senior pastor, he said, you know what? That's the word of God. I brought it to wise counsel as soon as I got the word. I brought it to wise counsel, and my senior pastor said, it'll be 7 years before you go. I'm like, you don't know nothing. I am ready to go now. I just had a transformational experience in the Caribbean. God spoke to me audibly, and he told me clearly the way to go. And my pastor said, Brent, 7 years. I'm like, oh, I just love you, Pastor. Oh, you're such a good man and wise man. You're just not as wise as I am. Oh, I was young. He was old. He'd been around the block once in a while. He'd been around the block. And then I tried to find scriptures which were so easy to justify why I should just go without listening to my own eldership and leadership. But then I found scriptures that said why I should listen to wise counsel. And I went, no, those aren't biblical. And as hard as I tried, 4.5 years, we paid that 20-year mortgage off, got completely debt-free. And as hard as I tried, 2 babies came along. Well, I was trying. That was fun. But that was besides the point. But and it wouldn't you know it. How long do you think it was with me trying hard to get untied from that dock and sail off? I thank the Lord for that pastor. I honor him to this day, a man of God that hears the voice of God. I tell you, this is family. You grow up, you train your kids in the culture of kingdom, you don't even have to tell them, you got to honor me. You don't even have to bring them and scold the Ten Commandments and hit them over the head with stone with Ten Commandments written on it. So you bring them up in the right culture of the kingdom and they just know the culture. It's a beautiful thing. It's what I believe we're raising up here. It's got to be different than everything else out there. All the beautiful churches around here, let's not just be the same thing. Let's do what God's called us to do. Because they're wonderful and they have their vision and their passion. And if yours isn't in this house, go find the house where your passion is. Just make sure it's God's passion in you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. 2 promises in the meanings here. The first promise that Jesus is saying in that is God's presence is among us and determines our identity. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The second promise is ultimately, this promise gives us what we are able to accomplish. Through that promises of Jesus Christ, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, he gives us the ability to live in the presence of the Father. And he gives us the ability to accomplish us all of God's promises in our life. To be able to walk out our God-given assignment here on earth, we must develop a growing awareness of God's presence among us. If we don't live with an awareness of God's presence among us, we won't develop the right culture. And that is not just on a Sunday morning. That has got to be every day. We have to develop, we have to train ourselves into an awareness that God is always with us. Our awareness of God determines how we perceive reality and how we're to live. Because as our awareness of God grows in us, what we start to realize is we're going to live in His in the awareness of who He is and His destiny in our life. And all this stuff raging around us, it's going on around us, won't suck us in. Instead, we'll change culture in us, which actually affects the culture around us. I've had multiple drunks come up to me. I'm just standing there in the line. Buying something.
Something's different about you.
It's my hair.
Something's different about you.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Tell me, what is it?
It's called the kingdom of God. Because Jesus Christ gave me a key.
Are you one of those Jesus people?
Yes.
I knew it.
And you know what, sir? You're called to be one too. And the reason you're drunk right now is because of the despair of your divorce that happened 3 years ago and the three kids that were killed in a car accident. That all is why you're drunk now. And I want to tell you something, that God is so real and so alive that He has drawn you to hear His words today. It's interesting how the things of this world have no effect on the bodies that are destined for God. His drunkenness completely disappeared. His glassy eyes went completely clear. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. You don't need the things of this world. We just need the things of His kingdom. He'll give us many things in this world, just with the concept and the ownership and eyes of the kingdom. You got faith? Go own a Dodge. You can do it. In Psalms chapter 16, verse 8, this is King David. This is David speaking. Psalm 16, verse 8, and when he said, I have set the Lord always, that word always is continually, I have set the Lord always continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That word moved is shaken or waver. What's the answer? Bing, 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 right there, door number one. I will not be shaken. I will not waver from his truth. I have set the Lord before me continually, always, and I'm not going to shake off of it because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. I will walk the path of Jesus Christ. You have a question in your life? Set the Lord in front of you always. I guarantee you. He will give us the strength and the answers. Absolutely amazing. I was going to share something about Duncan Campbell, but I'm going to just pass here because of time. Our success is really about radical obedience. How do we become successful in life? Radical obedience. We have to be radical. Radical, with the full context of biblical scripture. Now, some people feel radical is, I'll do whatever the Lord tells me to do, and that's all I'm going to do. I won't listen to anybody else. That's fine, but that's actually not the radical obedience God is talking about. Radical obedience is doing what God has called, but having family support, empower, and literally speak. Because I have to speak back to my own life. The radical obedience that was burning in me, a wise man said, 7 years. I'm like, what on earth? My parents had radical obedience right after the Second World War. My mom and dad met, got married, and in 1951, they were at Camp Wycliffe along with a guy named Jim Elliott. Has anyone heard of them? They all studied how to be missionaries together. And they were radical. They went down into the jungles of the Amazon in 1952. And the Wycliffe had a little mission base built called Yerinococha in 1952, just a little base, a few houses. And my dad, he was radical. He was a little crazy out there. He was a fighter pilot, a pilot instructor in the whole Second War. So he wanted to build his house away from everybody else. Well, that's in the depths of the jungles of the Amazon. And he had to get special permission, but he finally got permission. And so they built the house. That's the house I grew up in. It later became the biggest base of Wycliffe. And we had grades 1 to 12 there and on our own base. Why do I say that? Because radical obedience we must have. But you see, there was wise counsel within the radical obedience. You understand what I'm saying? Jim Elliot, amazing man of God. Nate Saint, amazing man of God. Absolutely incredible people. They went into Ecuador and ministered to the Alca tribe. And the mission that they actually were for said, don't go to the Alcas yet. We don't know if they're civilized yet. But they snuck in anyways. They ended up becoming martyrs. But their council said, don't go. Interesting, isn't it? My dad happened to be the pilot that flew the wives back in later, because that mission only had one airplane, and that airplane was destroyed. But the head office said, don't go yet. We celebrate them because they were martyrs, because they made contact, thought it was friendly, realized the next time they met, it was not friendly, and all of the men lost their lives. I tell you, we have to have such an obedience that we're crazy radical for God, but yet be part of family, that we have such passion for his kingdom come as will be done, that we not only see it ourselves, but we all see it as family together. Amen? Our success is really about our relational response to God. The source of all our blessings, prosperity, and goodness is always connected to our relationship with the connection of God. Everything in prosperity, every blessing, everything that happens that's good in your life is always connected to our relationship with God. You want more good? You're having a bad season? Get closer to God. I guarantee you the season will change. It doesn't mean that so-and-so is going to change. It just means the season will change. Because you're part of the season to change it. Amen? We all okay? We all thinking of our Chinese food lunch? When we do what God asks us to do, we strengthen our connection with the source of life. That's him. The more we live our lives in agreement with God, the more his nature and his kingdom manifest in us. We have to move into the agreement and the nature of God. If we don't live in the agreement or the nature of God, which is always, the nature of God is always in agreement, just so you know. God's not going to tell you one thing and then tell everybody else something different. It just doesn't work that way. Well, hold it. I'm hearing God. You're not hearing God. No, hold it. Is this your family? Do you trust them? Because if it's your family and you trust them, then we have to work together, talk together. But you know what? No, I'm hearing God because I'm the only one that can hear God. I lived that life for many years. Let me tell you, it's a lonely place to live. I'm higher, I'm greater, I can hear better. You know what? That is a lie from the devil. I love getting wise counsel from the people that just don't say much. They seem like they're not doing a whole lot. But boy, are they doing a lot. Because a lot for God is in his presence. The more you live in him, the more you're doing. Not physically, spiritually. Yeah, but he's leading thousands to Jesus. I need to get his wise counsel. You know what? Yeah, but what about the little old ladies that are sitting there praying? That might be wiser counsel. That might be the wise counsel. Yeah, but look what Billy Graham did. Yeah, but what about the 5 men that prayed for him his whole life? Oh. What about the Sunday school teacher that led Billy to Jesus? Wow. Because radical obedience is always a matter of relationship, it is always a heart issue. Relationship will always stem from heart. Where your heart is, that's where you'll find relationship. Everyone getting hot in here? You're all looking a little sleepy right now. We've used up all the oxygen in the room. Radical obedience is always a matter of relationship, because it's always relationship is always a hard issue, and obedience is always a hard issue. Your relationship with your wife or your husband is a hard issue.
Yeah, but you don't know what they're doing.
No, 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 it's your heart issue. It's your heart and their heart co-laboring together is what will make a marriage work. If you don't have a heart for the marriage, or your wife or husband doesn't have a heart for the marriage, it's going to be a hard battle, but keep your heart pure and your heart right. Because when your heart is right, you'll see relationships start to build. Not all marriages work, I understand that. They're all supposed to work. That's the destiny. That's called a covenant. Uh-oh. Can I say this? Like, a covenant is, like, pretty important. Marriage is a covenant. In marriage, that covenant, if you break that covenant of marriage, then how would you ever expect a covenant with God or with Christ in your life? Now, if you've broken the marriage and you're now divorced, it is what it is. You can't take things back, but you can change things for the future. Man, it got real quiet in this place. I love people. If you're married, you're unmarried, you're divorced, you're not divorced, you're single, you're not, you're whatever, you're male, you're female, you're confused on whether you're male or female, I love you. It's a real thing today. I love you. I love you because God loves me, and I surely am not perfect. I'm a whole lot closer in my own mind. I don't care what sin you're in or not in. It doesn't change my love for you. But what it does do for me is it wants me to help you with truth. Because truth, which is the word of God, is where you'll find your true liberty. It won't be in the lies of the world. It'll be in the truth of God. If your marriage is struggling, I will guarantee you how we help it. It's right here. It's right here. And I'll explain how it works. Because in my office, I have a 40-pound Bible. And I line the man up, and I use the 40-pound Bible. I say, bend over. Little feather. But the woman, I only use the 1-pound Bible, you know, just a... I'm involved right now with multiple divorces that are happening in pastors' lives. Multiple divorces that are happening in ministers' lives. It wasn't my choice to be involved, but it is my choice to do God's will. And I'm helping people walk through these things, but at the same time, I'm helping restoration. Because I believe there's always forgiveness that leads to restoration. And when we're restored, we're back on fire fully again in God's plans and purposes. And it doesn't matter to me what your past was. Use it for the power of testimony. Don't hold guilt, because if you hold guilt, then you haven't learned true forgiveness. Use your sins of the past as a power of testimony to better yourself for God's glory, to be able to look at somebody and say, you know what, I was a drug addict, but I'm set free. You know what, I lost my first 3 wives, but now I'm liberated into a beautiful marriage. Let me tell you what started to happen in my marriages. I'll guarantee you, control, perspectives of who's in charge, who's not, money, finances are usually a big part of it. Independence is probably the largest thing that breaks relationships. You know who I am. You can't treat me like that. You know what? Maybe they shouldn't be treating you like that. But as soon as you let the independent spirit separate, you've lost hope. You focus more on freedom than you are on the battle of covenant. And we have to be careful. I say that not just for marriages, but I say that for relationships. I say that for churchgoers. You know how people have come in our front doors and headed right back out? How many times we've poured more time and effort into people, certain individuals, and then boom, they're gone? Usually over a misunderstanding or miscommunication or independence. Many times we don't do things right. We're learning, we're growing. I have never lived this day before. This is the first day I've lived this day. And I'm going to wake up to a new day tomorrow that I've never lived. So I really don't know fully what I'm going to do 100% tomorrow other than rest. It's my day off. Rhubarb. It's our rhubarb farm. We're right in the peak of the season right now. My wife and I have graciously, isn't it just over 1,000 pounds now? Since Wednesday. And you thought I went to the tanning booth. No, I was actually picking in the sun. No, I don't do a tanning booth. That's ridiculous. Well, you must be bleaching your hair. No, actually, I don't do anything to my hair. I blow dry it, I wash it, and the sun does stuff. It is what it is. Jealous? No, I'm just kidding. This is the comment I get most in the airports, usually from the stewardesses. You know how many women would die for that hair? I'm like, yeah, but I know a lot of men that would die for it too. No, or just some hair, I should say. But anyways, I'm just kidding. One day I'm going to come in and it's all gone. You're going to go, who is that guy? I'm this close, believe me, I am. Keep. Oh. Yeah. For that, we're staying a half an hour longer. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. Keeping the testimony, which is the key to radical obedience. You want radical obedience? Keep the testimony. Right here is the Word of God. It's designed first to do something in our hearts. Moses told the people in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, he said, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them the testimony. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Teach the testimony of radical obedience. Teach the testimony of what God's done. Teach it, teach it, teach it. Let not it leave your mind. Let not it leave your hearts. Let the radical testimony of God in your life be taught to your children and to your grandchildren." Later, Solomon said in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Solomon knew that the issues of life come from your heart, not around you. Whatever this government of Canada decides and does, whatever your neighbor's doing, whatever's going on or going wrong in your life, I'll tell you what, Solomon was a very wise man. And he knew that all those issues spring from your heart. What he's saying is when your heart is truly after God, everything else is not an issue. Whatever fills our hearts will fill our thinking and our behavior. Oh, North Korea's going to nuke us. Man, you know what? Why don't you not worry yet? Because, you know, what is it, 4 months, 5 months ago, 8 months ago, everyone said Trump's going to put us in a nuclear war. And guess what's happening? Let's just remember the people that were so scared of North Korea nuking us. And let's just really believe that the presidents and the prime ministers have something they're doing. Presidents, something they're doing, and we pray for them. I'm not in agreement with everything that goes on in presidents and prime ministers, okay? But it doesn't stop me from praying for them, and it gives me no right to slam them and bash them on social media. God says, pray for your leaders. That's what I do. Why? Because truth is in me. I miss it. I miss it a lot. I make mistakes. Once. When we keep the testimony of truth, we fill our hearts with truth. We keep the testimony of truth in our lives, our hearts are filled with truth. The truth of who God is becomes the truth of who we are and the truth of where we've come from. This testimony leads to the truth of where we're going to God. It is our responsibility, our responsibility to fill our hearts with the truth and not the lies of the enemy. If your heart's being filled with the lies of the enemy, it's your responsibility. Not everything out here to change. It's your responsibility to eliminate the lies out of your heart. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, Moses emphasized to Israel that from God's perspective, the real threat to their success in the promised land did not exist among the enemy tribes and the giants in the land. Moses said that God's perspective, those giants and those enemies, that's not the problem. That's not the risk. The actual main threat was the internal reality of the Israelites' hearts. We want revival? Where's your heart? The only thing stopping revival is in your heart. What do you mean by that, Brent? I feel like we should be ending now. Do you? No. Or something, music, something. If not, that's okay. I'll keep talking anyways. You want revival? I do. But I'm actually already in revival.
Well, aren't you just a proud individual?
No, I just don't find my identity in the things of the world. I find my identity in the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to live revival because I choose to live it every day. And I'm going to take that word of God, I'm going to put it in my heart every day. I'm going to add truth. I'm going to add something that God has called me into. What is that? To be a son. And I'm going to live in sonship the rest of my life on this earth. My mom, my dad, physically, are both in heaven. They're in glory. They're in maybe a cloud of witnesses right now, looking and watching and praying with no distractions for us. But I choose every day when I get out of bed, this day is going to be for the glory of God. Why? Because I'm just speaking truth. And I'm going to be happy and glad in it. Why? Because I'm speaking truth. I expect this day to be the day the Lord has made. Why? Because my Bible tells me so. I expect the promises and the promises of God to live in my life. Why? Because I choose to walk in them. I have moved across the Jordan and I'm in promised land. Yeah, but you don't watch the news. Oh, I watch the news. I just choose my channel. Best news that you could ever watch, I just like what Henry said, is the good news. You know what? The world could be going to hell. Oh, I found that in my Bible. But you know what? God's kingdom is in heaven, and it's touchable for us to touch into right now for every need. Everything we need to have. It's right there, right there, right there. It's touchable. If we're willing to believe that God is real and his Bible's not a lie. Let's stand. Psalms 95:10, God said of the Israelites, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. That word translated go astray in this verse means err and wander. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation. It is a people who have erred and wandered. They have erred and wandered. What has kept them out of the promised land for 40 years? Their heir to the truth and the wandering from God's ways. In other words, our internal reality becomes our external reality. Whatever reality is internal, it'll become external, guaranteed. If our internal reality is the kingdom of God, then our external reality will be kingdom all around us. Doesn't mean you're going to change this and that and the government structures or anything. Doesn't mean that. You could. I'm just saying. How you see everything around you will be seen from a kingdom of God perspective instead of a kingdom of man or kingdom of sin perspective. scriptures points out that knowing God's ways is more important than knowing God's acts. Psalms 103, verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Listen, you come to a conference, you'll see the acts of God, but do you know his ways? You'll see the outcome of godly men and women living, but do you know God's ways? You'll see a miracle, a sign, and a wonder. That's an act of God, but do you see his ways? Moses knew the ways of God, but the children of Israel, because of the wilderness lifestyle that they chose to live in, could only see his acts, but they didn't know his ways. And the presence had to go before them instead of upon them. When you know his ways, you feel the presence like Moses did when the mountain comes and gets covered with the cloud of glory and a voice speaks to Moses. But to know his ways, you have to follow the presence. But the presence will be like a cloud in the day and a fire by night, and you'll only be following it. But God is saying, I don't want you to follow my way, my acts anymore. I want you to know my ways to live in them. A heart to know God is willing to pursue the God behind the acts of testimony. We know that God's acts reveal his ways. That's why we share testimony. Why? Because it's not pointing at the man or woman that had the testimony. It's pointing at the ways of God. Without this, it's an undeniable reality that God is a supernatural God who invades and overcomes the impossibilities. The only way we're going to overcome the impossibilities is to know the ways of God. And let's not just focus on the acts. You could come here on a Sunday morning and say, you know what? It feels a little more dead than it did two Sundays ago or last Sunday. You know why it feels dead? Because you're dying. Because if we have to run by our feelings and emotions, then we're not actually running by the word and the truth of God. And that's why most relationships end, because they've gone to feelings and emotions instead of truth. That's why men and women fall. Another pastor I just heard about fell. I'm like, come on. We ought to break the pattern of the falling. We got to bring back the pattern of truth, because the truth gives us liberty and freedom. Let's break the patterns of the enemy and let's bring the patterns of the kingdom. And how do we do that? We know his ways, not just his acts. I ask you right now in your hearts, do you want to know his ways more? Or do you want to just see his acts? Do you want to just see everybody else have an encounter with God? Yeah, but Brent, I don't know if I'm willing to give up. That's the problem. You have to be willing to give up everything of your own thought patterns and understandings to know his ways. His way is the right way. It's the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him, and his name is Jesus Christ. That is the way. That is the way. Jesus did everything he saw his Father do, and he spoke everything he heard his Father speak. And he's looking for brothers and sisters to do the same. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you that, I think this is our last Sunday in April, isn't it? I want to encourage you that April was amazing. It was an amazing month. Well, I couldn't pay my rent. No, it was amazing. God's called us into the amazing lifestyle. As we pursue him, he'll give us the work we need. I guarantee it. But it costs us something. You know what it costs? Unbelief. It costs unbelief. It costs your own understanding of identity to grab the understanding of his identity in you. That's a good cost. Boy, if I could pull that out of my wallet right now, I'll pay it right now. Whatever, I'll pay for unbelief. I don't want unbelief, I want belief. I don't want lack of faith, I want faith. How much is that going to cost me? Let me get my credit card. It just costs you a choice, because Jesus paid the price. It cost him everything, so you wouldn't have to pay for it. I want to ask you. Maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here and you've been backslidden for a state. Well, why don't you just make a decision and change it?
Well, I've tried. You know how many times I give my life back to Jesus?
Then do it again. Keep doing it until it sticks. Keep doing it till it becomes a reality in your life. Have faith to believe and know that He is God. Because that's what He's called us to. To be sold out servants, be sons, to be not slaves, servers, servants, servers of His kingdom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You want to make a choice today? Maybe you want to say, you know what? I feel like I need Jesus in my life. Put your hand up right now. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand? Maybe you've just not been living the right life. You've been backslidden, and you know that you know. There's something tugging on your spirit right now. Well, it's not my words. It's His words. It's tugging on your spirit. And you just want to be more fired up for God than you ever have. Maybe you remember times in the past that you're all fired up. Maybe you're in a movement before and you're all fired up and you're feeling like, I just don't have that fire anymore. You know what? You're not going to have that fire. You're going to have a better fire. You don't go back to the old fire. You come to the new fire. Maybe that's you and you're hungry for more. You're just saying, you know what? I'm going in for God. I'm going to be sold out. Put your hand up right now. Just put it up. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see lots of hands going up. My hand's up. I'm so hungry. I don't want old fire. I want new fire. I don't want old wine. I want new wine. I don't want to be an old wineskin. I want to be a new wineskin. Every day I want to be a new wineskin. Why? So I can drink good wine of His presence, of the Holy Spirit, of His glory. I'm going to call the prayer team up front. I ask here today, Father, I pray for everyone that raised their hands and everyone who is too nervous to raise their hands. Or everyone who thought they were getting pressured into raising their hands. Because a raising of a hand doesn't really mean much except between you and God. I just want to pray for every person in here that has a hunger, a desire to be more in Your way, Father. Not just see Your acts, but to actually be in the way of the Lord. Everyone here that wants to have a mountain experience where the presence, the glory cloud just covers over us. I pray, Father God, that our thirst and our hunger will never be satisfied, but every day we're going to come hungrier and hungrier and hungrier. We're satisfied in You, but our daily life should always be of increase. And I pray, Father God, for everyone that raised their hands, even for salvation today, or for rededication, or for just increase of more. I pray, Father, right now that Your Holy Spirit blows across this place. I pray, Father God, that we will go out of this house changed. We will not come in, go out the way we came in, Father, but we're going to go out stronger, and we're going to go out more on fire. We're going to go out radically shifting and changing in our own hearts, Father. For this is the day that You have made, and in it we rejoice, and we've chosen to rejoice today. We've preached Your word. We've taught Your word, Lord God. Now we're asking for the increase, Father. Holy Spirit, we're asking, just blow upon us, blow across us, just empower us in such mighty ways. Be the counselor in our lives, Holy Spirit. I thank You, Father. For You're a good, 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 good God. You're so good, just everything else is not as good as You are, Father. It's just You're the best good. I feel like the Lord saying, yeah, but I'm in You, so I made You good. Thank You, Father. Holy Spirit, thank You. Jesus Christ, thank You. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. In us, on earth, as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as
we forgive those, as we forgive those, as we forgive those, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, amen.